You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Gary Byrne, the author of Crisis of Character. Gary, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. I'm grateful to be here.
Gary, we spoke several months ago about your wonderful book, Crisis of Character, about our friends at Clinton's. First, let me say to you, congratulations, and the reason I'm saying that is because I'm sure, without any doubt, that your great book had a lot to do with her defeat. Have you thought about that at all?
I have. I'm just kind of coming to grips with it. First of all, thank you for saying that. I appreciate it. But as you well know, the real credit goes to Mr. Trump and his family. They did an incredible job, and they did it in a way that normal politicians can't do it. They did it financially smart and cheaper than the Democrats did. I just was listening to somebody talk about that they spent quite a bit less than the Democrats did, and they won. I think Mr. Trump did a great job for us running, and I think he will as president. And I do realize my book had some effect. I get a lot of messages and email, and I'm grateful for that kindness. But, you know, the real win went for Mr. Trump. He stepped up and did the right thing for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate your approach here. However, if we put aside what Donald Trump did and what he did was incredible, if we put that aside, there is no doubt that you played a part in, in the outcome.
Sure. We got the truth out there. I told the story that I never thought I would tell. I came to the conclusion, like you and I talked about before, that this was my new mission. The American people need to know who the real Hillary Clinton is before they go into that voting booth. I told my true life story of how their life crashed into mine and who they really are. And I think it did have some effect. Sure, absolutely. And I'm grateful for it. I really am. You know, when I first started writing the book, my goal wasn't to get anybody elected. It was really to defeat her, to get the truth out and stop Hillary Clinton. And looking at it from that perspective, I at least helped. So I'm grateful for that opportunity, and life goes on. Yeah, I'll be honest with you, I'm still a little stunned. When I watched the election the other night, it was comical because watching the mainstream media, I mean, they just couldn't bring themselves to admit it, and it was just comical. I thought George Stephanopoulos was going to have a seizure. He just couldn't say that she lost.
That would have been good. If they all,
it was just crazy.
If they all had seizures, it would be great because, you know, it used to be that people like me were greatly in the minority. We noticed this, and like I said in our first interview, that's how I reached out to you because of what you said about the mainstream media. But now, because of Trump, because of what he did, and because of the reaction of the mainstream media, people like this clown Stephanopoulos and the rest of these talking heads, it is a shocking thing to see how one-sided they are when they're supposed to be the media, and they're supposed to obviously give people the information. And that all has come together. And I've said this before, I'm not a man of hope, but about a week before the election, I began to feel that I could not imagine her in the Oval Office. Like something in my head just clicked, and I said, no, I can't see her there. And I started to really believe that Trump was going to win. And then when I saw how it unfolded, as I'm sure you did, and many of us staying up so late, and I heard about in Florida, of course, that was what really started it. And where I live in the Panhandle, when they said, well, we're waiting for the Panhandle, because we're in the Central Time, to come in. And it felt really good to know that my little vote had something to do with it being in the Panhandle, and the Panhandle usually is just really ignored. But wouldn't it be great if it was possible to actually find out how many people read your book and that had the impact on them to vote the way that they did? There's a possibility.
Sure.
Even though we might want to discount it because we can't really imagine it, but there's a possibility that your book could have had a profound effect on Trump winning.
Well, here's what I do know. As of about a month ago, that's the last time I got numbers in from the publisher, we sold 440,000 books as of about a month ago.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know how many people it changed their mind, but I can tell you easily 100 people have contacted me on Facebook, probably twice that many. And I've gotten letters. This is really cool. A lot of people just, they like the book so much, they just sat down with a pen and paper or on a computer and they wrote me a letter. They found the address of the publisher in the book and they sent it to them. I've gotten about 35, probably 50 letters from the publisher that people sent to them for me. And as a matter of fact, I sat around today with my co-writer and we answered a bunch of them. Send thank you cards. Yeah, so I get it made an impact and I would love to know how many, but I know this isn't where you're going, but I just feel like I have to say it. Nobody owes me anything. I'm grateful for the opportunity. You know, I was reluctant when I first started writing the book. I was. We talked about that. I was reluctant to do it. But after about 2 months and I was working on it, and after talking to my wife again for, you know, the second or third time about it, I decided that was my mission. And like I completely flipped to the other side. I thought, God, I would be reckless if I didn't get this information out. It would be dereliction almost if people didn't know the truth. Because if she did get in, I talked about this with you before, how do I look my kids in the eye and say, you know, I did everything I could when I didn't? So now I did, and she lost, Mr. Trump won, and unless I wake up tomorrow and find out there's an ice cream machine in the house, it just couldn't get any better.
Yeah, right. And I wanted to ask you this, how good does it feel right now?
It feels good. I feel very content. I haven't changed much, like my ideal of voting and why I vote. I vote because I feel it's a responsibility, but I usually vote Republican because I don't want anybody screwing with my Second Amendment rights, and I usually vote my checkbook, so to speak. And I usually feel like I get a better return with conservatives, Republicans. And although, you know, over the years, the definition of conservative and Republican has gotten a little squishy and wishy-washy. But here's the thing. I don't believe it's possible to be free if you're not free to defend yourself with a firearm. I know that sounds strong, but I do believe that. If we lose that right, how are we really free? You know, we can't really protect ourselves. And I think that's one of the most important things about living here. It's funny, I came to that conclusion not too long ago in that fashion, that strong, because of a friend of mine that I worked with who is actually an immigrant here. He's from Poland originally. I was talking to him one time, and his take on our Constitution and our Bill of Rights is a little bit different than ours because he wasn't born here. So I think it's important, and that's one of the things that drove me, because I knew in my heart of hearts, based on all my 8 years that I protected them, that was one thing she was always nutso about, Mrs. Clinton, was flipping the Second Amendment as far as, you know, making it look like it was the government. Right and not the individual's right. And I always believed she would do it.
Right. My friend, you are reluctant, but you are a huge piece of U.S. and world history.
Well, and, thank you. I greatly appreciate that.
Oh, thank you. Because isn't it amazing somebody as nice and kind and self-deprecating as you becoming such a huge piece of history here that you may have had a huge part in turning this thing around because you saw she won the popular vote, ostensibly.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're
yeah.
to believe that all of these machines
yes.
and the counting is accurate, she won the
yeah.
popular vote. And it's funny because I've always said, and as you said, we learn something new every day. I mean,
yeah.
the way that you feel now about the Second Amendment. I always said, geez, what do we need this electoral college for? It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
But maybe the framers, these geniuses that put this country together, maybe they knew something much greater or in a much clearer fashion that
right.
we can comprehend. And when I say
right.
me, I don't mean you and me. I just mean the
yeah.
collective we. That maybe they're right because here it is. Trump didn't
yeah.
get the popular vote, but he's the president. And when I said, Gar, how do you feel? The reason
yeah.
I said that is because from talking to people, including myself, and I'm going to say how I feel, even though I'm in a different position than you are. But
sure.
I'm going to say that I just breathed a huge sigh of relief when it
yeah.
happened. Did you feel that way, too?
I did. You know, I felt a little emotional there at first. I hate to go back to the crazy mainstream media, but I kept flipping back from Fox to CNN or MSNBC, and they held him at 255. They just couldn't bring themselves, and Mrs. Clinton's numbers were still at 215, I think. They couldn't bring themselves to give him these states that Fox had said he had won like an hour before. And at that point, that's when I realized, I said, they're purposely holding this up, hoping for a miracle. He's won. I thought about my co-writer, and he's only 25 years old, and he helped me write this. He helped me do what you said. He helped me change. If it changed people's minds, he helped me do it. And the people that helped us with the finances in the beginning before the book made some money, I mean, it's incredible. And they're very happy. Everybody is involved in this, including my wife. I didn't realize how much pressure it was on my wife until I told her that he had won, because she had gone to bed. She just was kind of stressing. And it is great. But, you know, also, I like to remind you, you know, if somebody drove up in a pickup truck with $1 million in it and gave it to me, I'd say, oh, that's great. I don't get real excited, and I don't get real, no highs, no lows. I'm kind of even-keeled. So I am very happy about it. I'm grateful, and I'm so hopeful now. God, I didn't even realize how concerned I was about what would happen if she got in. And I don't mean about me. I mean, God, about the country. And I knew what would happen. It would just be more expansion of these crazy government programs that are so expensive and don't work. And then she'd go after the Second Amendment, and then it would be this. And then, you know, if it's all right to screw with the Second Amendment, you know, this First Amendment, maybe that needs to be tweaked a little bit too, and they'll never stop. And that was my biggest fear. And now it's gone for at least 4 years. So I think we dodged an incredible disaster.
Yes. As you mentioned, of course, not for you, but for the country. But looking even beyond the First and Second Amendments, looking at the country itself and what this man has promised to do, really look at it as a business, as a company, and
yeah.
put it back together. I just feel really good. And I know, like I said, I've talked to a bunch of people, and they just got a big weight off their shoulders.
Yeah.
Since he won. And, of yeah. course, the Supreme Court. Now, of course, Gary, last time we talked, the book was, I think it lasted 5 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list.
It was number one for 5 weeks, and it stayed on the list for 11 weeks.
Yeah. 11 weeks.
I know. Isn't that crazy? I know. One day the publisher called me, the guy that actually manages the company, and he was thanking me. And I laughed, and he said, "What's up?" And I said, "You know, I can't believe you're the owner of this company. You run it, and you're calling me." I said, "Am I missing something? Is it that big of a deal?" And he goes, "Yeah, you just don't realize." So I'm starting to get a grip on everything. But it was just kind of funny because I was on the list for 5 weeks, number one. And, you know, it was kind of lost on me at first. I mean, I knew it was a big deal. But when you look at other people, I mean, there's tens of thousands of great writers in this country whose books are sitting in desk drawers. You know, I just got lucky, and believe me, I'm very grateful for it. So
yeah, no, I know that. I know that when people hear this interview and people have heard you before know that as well. And
yeah,
they're very grateful that you're around and that you did what you did. Sure, of course. And not just grateful for protecting the office of the president all those years. And that's not easy, because I know, because as I told you, not only did I read your book and speak with you at length, but I read Dan Emmett's book and spoke with him at length and
yeah,
book. So I do know that it's definitely not an easy job.
No.
It's one of the hardest jobs in the world, frankly.
Yeah. His book was good. I liked his book too.
Yeah, it was a great book. Now 11 weeks it was on.
Yeah.
And of course, Hillary made sure through her contacts in the corporate controlled, captured liberal media. And by the way, I did the same thing that you did. And I don't watch television, as I might have told you. I haven't watched television in over 25 years, but this I watched. And we watched on Fox Business Channel. Which my brother told me about, because I'm so out of touch with it, but Lou Dobbs was on. This fellow is very good.
Yeah, he is.
My wife said, let's switch to, I just want to see what they're doing. The same exact thing you're talking about, holding it there. And yeah, so I did see that. It is incredible.
Yeah.
They're all moving in lockstep. But do you think that, or has something happened now that she lost? She was repudiated by the voting public.
Right.
Do you think that now that that happened, that you will be able to get on, I hate to even mention that view, that nonsense, whoopee,
go to
Mexico or Canada, wherever you want to go, just the hell out of here. What do you think?
I don't know. We'll see. I can't remember if we talked about this before, but I did announce last week or 2 weeks ago, roughly, I guess, that I'm actually moving forward with a lawsuit against David Brock at Media Matters for slander, and then probably the retired Secret Service Agents Association for also slandering me. So I'm going to move forward with that and try to restore the book's truth and my good name, and we'll see how that works out. But when it comes to the mainstream media, something occurred to me when you were just talking. I wanted to mention this too. Not only did Donald Trump beat Hillary Clinton, but he also beat Barack Obama, because you have to admit, in the last 2 months, he was acting like he was running for office again. And in some ways, he kind of was, because he's hoping to get Hillary in there to help his legacy out. He also, besides running against Hillary and Barack Obama, he was running against, in some ways, some angry Republicans who didn't want the status quo changed. And he was running against the mainstream media, and he whipped them all. And even before that, he whipped 16 people in the primaries. So I just can't say enough about how happy I am that he did win and how grateful I am, because he had a lot of hills to climb. And I swear, based on everything I saw, I think we're going to be just fine. So
I agree with you. Hey, look, you don't get to be a billionaire.
Right. Right. Thank you.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, exactly. You know, I never heard a bad word about the guy. I've told you this before. I'm an hour from Atlantic City. I'm 3 hours from New York. I never heard a bad thing about the guy until he ran against her. And, you know, when it comes to running against a liberal, especially Hillary Clinton, listen, it could have been Mother Teresa, and within 2 weeks they would have had pictures of her, you know, on a crack pipe.
Right.
I mean, they slander everybody. I mean, look what they've tried to do to my book and me. But thankfully, because of shows like yours and because of Fox News and the many other radio stations that have had me on, I've been able to get my message out. And like you said, it did ring some bells for people, and that's great. So.
It is great, Gary. It really is. And I'm glad that we could talk again and you could take the time out. And you did mention the lawsuit. I'm glad that's going forward. Anything else in the works? A sequel?
Well, actually, the next thing we're kind of working on is, I'm almost embarrassed to say it, but the book's coming out in paperback. We're not sure exactly when, but it is moving forward. It's going to come out with the new forward and some additional information based on what's happened in the last couple months. And then we're going to sit down after we get the paperback launched. We're going to sit down and think about a second book. I've got plenty of material left from the first one that we didn't use, that a lot of it can be used in a second book. And we'll see. I've been asked by the publisher to look at the idea, and I'm going to. So.
Well, you might as well. I mean, you're only a New York Times bestselling author, Gary.
Yeah. No, you're right. Well, again, I have to remind myself of that. technically I'm an author now, so I have to, right, I should try it again. That's exactly right.
They're not going to let you just sit there and not do it. That's like saying, hey, you got up to bat and you hit a home run. I mean, you're going to try again? Nah, I'm going to go into the dugout.
Yeah, I do see that now. And I kind of feel like I owe it to my partners, my co-writer and our backers. So I kind of feel like I owe it to them, too. So we're going to keep moving forward. So.
Absolutely. And that's what this country's all about, of course.
Yes, sir.
Stuff like this. Here's a guy who basically, as I learned from your great book, you're a cop. That's all you can
yes.
do. You're a Leo, a law enforcement officer.
I am.
And here's a Leo who is a New York Times best-selling author. I mean, hey, America, it doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. It's been very funny. I've gotten these great letters and stuff. I got one from a woman. She was 85 years old, and she was telling me how she read the book and how much she appreciated me writing it, and she was concerned about the risk I was taking, and it was just so funny first to read it, and then I thought, you know, this woman's serious. So when we replied to her, we made it very clear to her that she understood that I'm in no danger. I've taken precautions. I'm fine. I'm in no more danger than anybody else. So
because of all the people who have died mysteriously.
Sure.
Clinton's.
Can't discount it. Listen, I don't know exactly what happened, but you can't look the other way. You have to at least consider those things. That's just prudent.
That's right. And after what the DOJ did to you via the FBI,
yeah.
I mean, the way that they treated you and your family while your wife was pregnant, how's your family doing, Gary?
They're doing great. They're doing great. One's at swim practice and the other one's upstairs getting ready to practice her saxophone. So, yeah, life is good. My wife's fine and we're just taking it in one day at a time like everybody else.
Excellent. You are a great American, my friend.
Thank you.
You're a great man. Thank you for everything you did, Gary. And I appreciate the time that you spent with us today. And I'm looking forward to talking to you again real soon.
Thank you so much. And I look forward to that also. Thanks again.